I want to open up with a little humor here, with a monologue sort of introducing this, because help is on the way for us, church. Help is on the way for God's people. He's not going to leave you out there. He's going to strengthen you through your storm, and help's on the way. How you can tell it's going to be a rotten day? Here's some ways you can tell you're going to have a rotten day. Number one, this is a few little humorous things. You see a 60 Minutes news team walking into your office. Not going to be a good day. You call a suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You know that's not a good day. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You know it's not going to be a good day. Your twin sister forgot your birthday. Not a good day. Your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels on the freeway. Not a good day. Your boss tells you not to bother to take your coat off when you walk in. The bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. Not a good day. Your income tax check bounces. I love this next one. I can relate. You put both contact lenses in the same eye. Not a good day. And the last one is, your wife says, "Good morning, Mike," and your name is George. Not a good day. So, things are going to get better. And we just got to hang on and realize we're going to have days like that. Hopefully not days like the last one, but... do what? You've done that before? You've done that before? Ugh, that was terrible. I hate when I get stuck in your eye and you can't find it and it hurts. You're trying to dig it out of the corner. Oh, that's terrible. Sarah, they have little cases, darling. They're marked L and R. That stands for left and right, just to let you know. Oh, I got you. I know. I'm blind, too. I know. Without contacts, I know. If I didn't have my contacts in tonight, I think these seats were full. That's how blind I am. But anyway, help's on the way. We've got to wait on the Lord. And we have days like that, and things aren't going right. But I tell you, I think the bad days and the bad times make us appreciate the good days and the good times. It makes us, it does. What's that song? If it don't kill you, it makes you stronger. Well, don't kill you, make you stronger, so to speak. I do believe that we gain strength through our storms. And we're going to read Psalms 27 here about waiting on the Lord. We'll start with verse 1. Let's go read all the way through the chapter. And then I'll go back and expound a little bit, as I usually do. The Lord, Melanie says I don't read enough Bible sometimes, so I'll make sure I read the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and expound. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Isn't that nice to know in today's world? We're in trouble, aren't we? To know he's going to hide us, protect us from all the trouble. And I believe that. Melanie said many times she wished she had a bubble just for us to live in. To just put a bubble around our lives, protect us and the kids from the world and all the junk out there, and just seal us off. Well, God does that in his hands. He protects us. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We talked about that a little bit this morning, seeking God's face. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's a pretty encouraging psalm, and to remind us of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. I want to concentrate tonight on the last two verses, 13 and 14, waiting on the Lord. What does waiting mean? Waiting, one definition of waiting, it comes from the origin of the word, means to twist and to stretch. One commentator says it like this: the tension which occurs during the time of waiting is what produces the strength, which is the benefit of waiting. Let me re-say that. I should have that on the screen for you to see, but I don't. The tension which occurs during the time of waiting. Are you ever tensed while you're waiting? Tension's there, right? Fear, anxiety, stress. You don't like waiting. You want to see the result. You want to see the birth. You want to see it happen, but you're in waiting. I mean, you're just, if you've ever been on a plane on the tarmac when you're waiting to take off, I've been there. I don't like that. I'm claustrophobic as it is. And so when you're on a tarmac and they say, we're going to be delayed for a while, we're in a holding pattern. We're waiting for these planes to get out of the way. I've been there. We've had to wait for half hour at a time. I don't like that. I just soon get off and stretch my legs and get back on when they're ready to take off. But you got to sit there in that little capsule, little Tylenol pill, and wait. Wait until it's your turn. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting on our food. We don't like waiting on prayer to be answered. We don't like waiting on joy to return. We don't like waiting on God to visit us or show us something. But waiting is a process. And it says that, this commentator says that the tension which occurs during that waiting is what produces the strength, which is the benefit of waiting. There is a benefit of waiting. We gain strength through our waiting times. We gain strength through trusting God. We gain patience and we gain understanding of God's will more when we can learn to wait and quit saying, God, do it, and do it now. Or I'm tired of waiting, I'll do it myself. Just wait on God to bring the desired result into our lives. We can get a lot of results our way, but is it the desired result? God has a desired result for your life. And that sometimes only comes through our waiting on Him and trusting Him through that. A rope is made by the twisting of the fibers together so that it can take the tension when the time of testing comes. You and I, likewise, are made strong by God's grace when we are put under pressure. We are made strong. Tension. You know, example of, you know, when Linda had her bad accident and we're out in Oklahoma, and it's a time where Bruce was being tested. His faith was being tested as a husband, as a father. Kids were so little, and they were back home and wasn't really a part of that process as very much, but Bruce was. He was there firsthand, and his rope was being tested. Okay, I got to wait. When the doctor comes out and says it's 50-50, we just don't know. You're in a waiting game. How long those hours must have been for him. How long? Now, he had me to keep him company, and how goofy I am, so I try to, you know, we try to be fun and have a good time as we could. But I know he was in here waiting, trusting and believing, but waiting. Waiting on that response from Lindra. Waiting on the next report for the doctor. Waiting for the doctor to say, there's been an improvement. Waiting on him to come back and say, Bruce, I got some good news. Or waiting on just the waiting. The waiting sometimes is so hard. The waiting. You know, we don't like waiting rooms. You're in a doctor's office. You're waiting. We don't like that because it's an uncertain place sometimes. But the waiting is what gives us strength. And if we'll wait on God to move, you know, another example I'll use, you know, well, I won't use that example, but let's use it in general. For our young people that desire the right mate, the right person for their life, you know, if you wait on God, if you wait on God to do it, it'll be the right thing. See, I began to pray for Mel when I was a very young man because I didn't want to go out and sow a bunch of wild oats. Well, I did, but I knew I better not. So I said, God, send me a wife. Send me a wife so I can sow wild oats legally. Send me a wife. And I began to pray. And there were girls that came along, and I could have dated a lot of other girls that I just chose not to because I wanted the right one in my life. And Melanie did come along in my life at a very young age. I was 19 when I first met her. And she was 17, and I knew she was the one. I knew right off. And I said, God, I want the right one in my life. I don't want to mess up. I used to ask Mom, how do I know? You'll know. It's just this thing. And, of course, you know, if you fall in love, you know. You just know. And you also know if it's not love. I mean, you know that as well. And you can't trick yourself into thinking you love somebody. You know if you love them or not. And I knew Melanie was the one. It's like I just knew. It's like I had this woo moment. You know, she's the one. I mean, God might as well just, you know, been standing there and says, James, yes, Lord, she's the one you're going to marry. Okay, God, got it. I mean, is that clear to me? Waiting is something we don't enjoy doing, but if we wait on the Lord, it'll be the right result. And we get in the way sometimes, and we mess our lives up because we don't wait on God. Waiting's a time frame. Waiting's a, you know, what's the story of, and I wish I had it a little more clear, the story of, was it Jacob and Rachel, or was he waited on Rachel for all those years? Was that Jacob? Waited on, I need Mary here. Waited on Rachel. But remember, he married the wrong one, but he wanted the right one. He had to wait another 7 years or something, but he finally got the right one, and that's the one he wanted. Then we read about Abraham and Sarah, where God said, you go have a child. He was 100 or 99. She was 90. It didn't happen the next month or next year. It was about a 12-year, if I'm thinking right, about a 12-year period before that happened. It was a long time when the angel said, you go conceive a child before it happened. You know, waiting is something we don't enjoy doing, but waiting does produce the right result if we wait on God. And the psalmist here is saying, wait on the Lord. Don't wait on yourself. Don't wait on what people say. You wait on the Lord. During that waiting time, God is preparing what's best for your life. We can't see it. You know, we can't see it. You know, you go through some restaurants. I think JB's has it on their drive-thru sign. It says, this is not a fast food joint, so prepare to wait for your food. We make it fresh by order. They prepare that. So you got to wait. So don't be whining when you go through JB's drive-thru and you're on a lunch break and why don't they hurry? The sign says, we prepare it. Be prepared to wait. So if you want something fresh, you want something good, you got to wait. You just got to wait. Waiting is something that we don't enjoy doing, but it's something that is so impactful in our lives. And God teaches us things through our waiting. Let me read this little thing I found. When our family is in turmoil, we become fearful. When our finances are a shamble, we fret over the checkbook. When we want answers immediately, but God commands us to be patient and to wait. He's won the victory. Sometimes we can do little except to wait and to believe. A Jewish refugee wrote an inscription on a wall outside Cologne, Germany during World War II. They said, I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I'm alone. And I believe in God even when he's silent. Man, that's trusting. That's waiting. That's believing. I believe and trust in God. I don't always hear him the way I want to. I don't see him the way I want to. I don't feel him the way I want to. But I do understand that he's there. And if I'll trust him and wait upon him and me get out of the way, say, God, your way, not mine. We jump ship too quick. We make poor decisions because we fail to wait on the things of God. And if we would learn to listen to that voice and just trust God that he's got something better prepared for us than what we could ever plan ourselves, we would have what we desire in our lives. There's a lot of prayers that we think are not getting answered. It's not they're not getting answered. It's not time for them to be answered. Or either we're in the way of that answer, or we're not really giving God the leeway to bring that into our lives. We want it our way, not his way. I said this morning during the message, one of the parts of 2 Chronicles 7:14 is we must humble ourselves before the Lord. Humble. Humble means we surrender our will to his will. We don't surrender our will to our will. We surrender our will to his will. God, what do you want in my life? What do you desire I do? I want your will to be done. I truly do. God, I don't want to be out of bounds of where you are. I don't want to be out of step or out of tune. I want to be where you want me to be. Shouldn't that be every Christian desire, that we ought to be where God wants us to be? Even if it means making a hard decision. Even if it means getting out of something you're already in. If it means reversing the course and saying, okay, God, I'm going to erase the board, start over. Fresh start, covering it up. Take my life from this point on, and I want to do it right. Y'all distracted over there, listen. I want to do it right. I want to wait on you, God. I want to wait. Waiting is something that strengthens our trust in him. It may seem like you've waited too long, or you may think you missed the boat, or you may question yourself and say, have I outwaited it? Have I waited so long, I've missed it? But don't believe that and don't buy into that lie. Put it before God and say, God, I'm putting this in your hands and I'm waiting on you. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm not going to go back and walk like I'm faithless anymore. I'm not going to grumble about it, complain about it, fuss about it. I'm waiting. And God, there's going to be a day and a season and a time where that waiting gives way to birth. And that waiting gives way to resolve. And that waiting gives way to the answer. And that waiting gives way to my miracle. It's going to come to pass. I've got to stay the course and stay planted where you've got me and stay rooted and trust that God knows what he's doing more than I can try to plan it myself. Wait on the Lord, the Bible says, and we shall have our strength renewed as the eagle. The eagle is powerful because it renews itself by plucking its feathers out and breaking its beak off, and it goes through a hard 40-day or so process of turmoil, but so it can fly again for a number of years. It has to go through a process. Sometimes during our waiting, it's a chiseling process, something we don't want to do, we don't enjoy doing, but God is doing a work in the midst of that. God is showing us truly who he is. God is showing us to depend upon him and not our thoughts and not other man and not what we can do, but totally surrendering to him, saying, God, you're the only one that can fix it, can change it, can heal it, can touch it. You're the only one that can deliver and can set it free. You're the only one that can take my situation and make it new and breathe new life into it. And I will not be moved, but I will trust you with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. I will acknowledge you in all my ways, and you will direct my paths. I will be as a tree planted by the living water. I will not be moved by lies of the devil, by doubt, by fear, by discouragement, by anxiety. I will not be moved, but I will stand on the ground you have placed me on, God, and wait on the breakthrough to come into my life. I will wait faithfully and patiently and expectantly for it to come to pass. It's already a done deal. You've already won the victory. You've already rose from the grave. You've already died for my sins. It's a done deal. You've already brought it to pass. I've just got to wait until it manifests in my life, and it will come to pass. Glory to God. Wait upon the Lord and be renewed. Because that's what waiting does. It forces us into a place in God we've not been before. That's what waiting really does. Bruce hadn't been in that place before where his wife was on the fringe of death. The children about to lose their mother. He's never been at that point of his life. Melanie's never been at a point of her life till her grandmother died until that point. Her dad died until that point. But she got there. She was at that point. Where do I go from here? Where does my strength come from? Because I'm broken and I'm scared and I'm lonely. I feel abandoned. I feel hopeless. Everything's been taken away from me. God, where are you at in all this? And during that process, we lean toward God in such a deeper way that we truly see his light in our darkness. We truly feel his love during that pain. We see the healing in our brokenness. That's the very most we see God, is in those moments of our life that we are so down, there's nowhere else to look but up. And when we look unto him, then we see the strength and the power of who he really is. And all of a sudden, we see God in a whole new way. It's not about a religious God or a patty cake God or a God that, yeah, I love him and I praise him. I feel the goosebumps from time. But we then see God as, you rescued me. Man, you gave me sanity when I should have lost my mind. You kept me from pulling a trigger on my head. God, you stepped in and saved my life. God, you kept me off drugs. You kept me off going to other avenues. God, you kept me grounded where I could have just lost it. I could have just went the other way. I mean, there are so many people that are medicating themselves out of their stress. They're medicating themselves out of their misery. They're medicating themselves to a point of I don't want to know. I want to escape reality so much. But God, I saw you during that moment. I saw you show up and you said, I'm enough. And I'm all that you need. And I am your strength. And I am your source. And I am your hope. And I am your peace. And I am your joy. I am the all. I am the I am of what you need me to be in your moment right now. Wait on me and trust me and give it to me and see if I can't keep that which you've given unto me. And in the middle of your storm, give you peace. There's an old saying that says, might be a song or a saying that says, sometimes he calms the storm. And sometimes he calms the child. There's times he will calm our storm, and there's times he will calm us in our storm. Either way, it works. Either way, it's great that we can have peace no matter what we're seeing. Peace to know, God, I give it to you, and I'm going to trust you until I see it produced. Wait. Earnestly expect it to come to pass. And wait upon the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows your need. He knows what you want. We are in such a rushed generation of trying to gain everything now instead of letting God bless us with it. Like Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, it addeth no sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow with some of our wealth and gain and success, but there's no sorrow when God does it. It's right. It's right when God does it. And that's where I want to be. God, I want to be in the place. And if it means waiting, if it means not understanding for a season, if it means I'm in darkness right now and I don't seem to have the right direction, that's when we just stand still and let God move. We just stand still. Like the old song, I came and walked without you holding my hand. Boy, that's true. We can't walk without holding his hand. We fall every time, and we stumble, and we fail. But in your storm, while you're waiting, while you see no hope on the horizon, he is the hope. When you see no peace coming, he is the peace. When you see no joy anymore in your daily life, he is the joy, and he is your strength. We have a God that we can tap into every day to give us what we need. And when we're in a waiting game, when we don't know how things are going to turn out, we just don't know. I've said many times, as a parent, the greatest investment we have is our children, of course. We know that. And it's many years. You know, it takes many years to see how that's going to turn out. We don't know for many years, a lot of times, how that turned out, how we did, how they are. It's a waiting game. It's a waiting game to see, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I trust you with my children. I don't know how they're going to be, but you already do. And I got to wait it out and trust you, do my part as a parent, teach right from wrong. Because Kylie and Bryce are little now, and they're sweet, and they're so innocent. But there'll be a day in just a few short years that they'll have to start making decisions on their own of what's right and wrong in their minds. And making choices of, do I go this way or do I go this way? And that'll be a point where Bruce the dad has to put it in God's hands. Say, I've done what I could do. God, you take them from here. It's kind of like, remember the old relay games we played in school? We had four guys carrying the stick, four girls, whatever. And you'd run the stick around, you'd do laps, and then hand the stick off. They would take the stick then and run. You get back, they'd take the stick. It's like a relay. Y'all look at me like you're funny. Y'all remember that game? Y'all remember that game? Anybody remember that game? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. That's a few of you. Okay. That guy was crazy. But we used to do that. And usually what you do, you want your fastest person going first to get that lead. And you kind of, and then the last person then, usually a 3 or 4 man team, and you would try to, you know, beat the other team with your relay. That's kind of how I feel about God. We can only do certain things with what we have. Then we hand it off to God. Okay, God, it's in your hands. You finish the race for me. You finish it. I've done what I can do. You finish it. I'm going to wait and trust that you're going to win this race for me. It's kind of what it's like. But we got to learn to let go of that stick, let go of that ball, and give it to him. Say, God, it's yours. And I'm going to quit taking it back and quit trying to worry about if it's going to work out or not. I'm going to wait upon you. God never fails us, church. He never fails us. We may think he fails us, but he doesn't. You know, the old poem, The Footprints in the Sand. You know, and only seen most, you know, seen two sets of footprints through the sand his whole life. Then he hit a very low point in his life and only saw one set of footprints. And he told God, said, God, you were with me all these years. But then when we hit rock bottom, I only see the one set of footprints. Where did you go? Why would you leave me in that situation? I can't believe the worst time of my life you left me. God said, I didn't leave you, son. That's when I was carrying you. It was his footprints he was seeing, God's footprints. There's so many times he carries us, I don't think we realize it. How much strength we have because of him, and how weak we would be without him. You know, I posed a question this morning to, I don't know if it's D, it might have been D. No, it wasn't D, it was Jewel. That if you couldn't feel the presence of God anymore from tonight until you went to heaven, you just never could feel his presence again physically, You just never could feel it. You believed in God, you knew He was there, but you couldn't feel His presence. That would be a horrible thing for us as Christians, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be bad? I mean, really horrible. We can feel His presence. Even in our storms, we can feel Him taking that weight and lifting it off of us if we'll give it to Him. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He's with us. Wait on Him. Many of you have needs you've asked God for, and you're waiting on God to bring those to pass. Continue to patiently and eagerly and expectantly wait for your breakthrough, whether it's finances, whether it's relationship, whether it's someone being saved, whether it's healing for your body. Trust God and wait. God knows what He's doing. God is ordering our steps if we'll let Him and follow that ordering. It's when we want to do our thing we get messed up. You know, when Christian had different colleges to choose from, she prayed about it. It was a big decision for her, and she was very torn. She asked me and Mother for our advice, and of course we gave what we could, but we said, look, it's got to come down to you. You got to pray and get peace about it. And she settled at UNCG and made a decision and knows it was the right school for her, still knows today it's the right school for her, and has complete peace about that. But she didn't take that lightly. She prayed and took it to God. Said, God, what do you want for my life? You know, she may in the flesh want to go somewhere else where it was, you know, different atmosphere or different environment, but she did really want what God wanted for her life. If we would surrender to the will of God, we would be where we're supposed to be. We would be where we're supposed to be. I know that we're supposed to be here. I know that God called this church to be birthed. There's no doubt about that. I have through the years questioned things because you just do. I mean, as a pastor, it's just like another job. You just question a lot of things. But I know deep inside God ordained this and God called this, because I look back and it's still amazing. We didn't use that to start a church. It just didn't happen that way. It just kind of happened. It literally fell. It just happened. I didn't go out trying to start a church. It just happened. And I know it happened because God allowed it to happen. And that God put all those pieces in place. Bruce, before service, we had play practice for the kids for the Christmas play tonight. We had about me here for practice. We had service. They all left after practice. But Bruce Backer looked at the old albums from the fire department days. And it shows, you know, we still got something to sing. It showed Christian and Jamie and Sierra and Joshua when they were so little. And so actually got Jamie and Joshua they're singing. They got their arms raised, you know, doing the motions and stuff. And Ashley was just a little tiny. Got Matt. Ashley's on Matt's lap at a Christmas dinner we're having in the fire department. Matt's holding her in his lap. She's just a baby. I mean, just a few months old. And black curly hair all over, like cousin It, you know, or like she stuck her hand in a light socket, all that hair. And she was so cute. And I was looking at those pictures of where we were then in that fire department. And a lot of faith we still have. A lot of them moved on or died or just went on. But all that started back then. All that started. Had a picture of the board meeting with Rodney and Tammy and Mom and Dad, me and Melanie. It says board meeting in progress. We're at the wooden table back in the fire department reading reports. It's brought back a lot of good memories kind of seeing some of those pictures. And, you know, we was there for 2.5 years, the fire department, waiting on the next move. Then this was built. So we moved in. We waited for this to be paid off. It's been paid off. Now we're waiting. Well, we waited on land. We got that, paid it off. Then we was waiting. We needed a building. Got that done. We need to get paid off. That's been done. Next step, we're waiting on more growth. But we got to wait on God. As we wait on God, it'll be the right time and it'll be the right season. We can get ourselves a lot of trouble trying to bull ourselves ahead. And I'm telling you, I've talked to a lot of pastors who regret the debt they've taken in. I mean, they've got debt. I mean, they just take too much in. They say, I wish I hadn't done this. I've lost half my congregation. I've got $2 million of debt. I mean, you can get yourself over your head trying to do it yourself. Here's my deal. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. It'll happen. I ain't got to force it. It'll happen. God will make a way. God could send, I mean, he won't do this now because I didn't thought about it. Because, you know, when you think about things, they don't happen that way. But, for an example, God could send somebody down the road tomorrow to come to my office. Walk back there. Are you the pastor? I sure am. I went by this church and God spoke to me. You need more space. I'm going to build it for you as a gift. Y'all don't think God can do that? God can do that. God spoke to my heart. I've got to build you more space. Or here's a check for $100,000. God can do whatever he wants. God can move. God moved before, and God can move again. Church, we paid this mortgage off in 7 years, our congregation. We ain't a rich church. We ain't a broke church, but we ain't a rich church. And God moved. I mean, God moved. Y'all remember the mortgage burning we had? Was you here that morning? We did the birth of the note. You wasn't here. Had the mortgage burning. Burnt that. Not the real note. We still got it. Made a copy. Burnt that note. Celebrating what God had done. To pay $250,000 off in 7 years with our folks. And many don't give. I mean, many of the people don't give. And we did it. Really was a testament and amazing. So you know what? God can do it again. God can raise it up and do it again. So we're waiting on him. I don't think we've lost the vision. We haven't. We got the drawing. We're saving what we can, but we've got to wait on God. And when it's time, God will say, okay, it's time. And if you get too impatient between now and then and go somewhere else because we ain't got enough space, that's your deal. You have to go somewhere else. We're not going to build because you get mad. We got to wait on the Lord. And he's blessed this church, I think, every step of the way because we have surrendered to his will. I want his will done. I don't want space or a bigger building to look important, church. That's not what it's about. I want to be able to reach the people. And God's going to do something. I won't share what it is, but God gave Melanie a dream last night, a very spiritual dream. And she had a couple dreams like this, a couple moments from God with the same pattern. And God is going to move. I had a dream years ago. I mean, that's already really kind of passed, to be honest, and to a degree, it has kind of passed. I had a dream. I was up here preaching in this church. And I'm in the middle of preaching. I mean, I've already started preaching. I'm wound up going. And the double doors open. And a whole line of people start walking in all at one time. Different races, different colors. I remember one of them was a Muslim guy. He had the hat, had the thing on. And they all began to walk down the aisle. And they filled in. This front three rows or so were empty in my dream. And they all walked in and started filling the rows. And I woke up. God showing me the people are on the way. And we have reached a lot of that already since that dream. A lot of faces, a lot of people, different races. I mean, we've reached that in a lot of ways. But man, it's not over yet. Because this generation is starving for the move of God. Starving. I know it can't go back to yesterday, but I'm telling you, God's not done with moving in the way he's moved before. He's just not done. And I believe we're going to see some miraculous manifestations of the Spirit of God. That we're going to see people that are so full of rebellion break down under the anointing of the Lord. Just break down. They just can't take it no more. The power is overwhelmingly so strong that they can't run from it anymore. It's going to be a place they're going to come, church. And that's why we have to wait on God. And we can't get caught up in what everybody else is doing, whatever the church is doing, but we got to stay focused on our vision. And our vision, go to my office, Melanie, will you, real quick? I got a binder under my desk. It says church policies or guidelines. Grab that binder, bring it here for me. I want to read. I don't know if y'all ever have heard it in years, but I want to read our mission statement of what this church is founded on. Our mission statement. It's not elaborate. It's not long. It's pretty simple, actually. It's not near as... I've read a lot of people's mission statements. They're so elegant and fancy worded. Ours is pretty just down to earth. But it's impactful. That's what we still stand for. And we've got to wait on God that he's going to bring forth the vision, bring forth the people, and bring forth deliverance in our lives. Because I really believe, here's what I believe. I was praying yesterday, and I believe God is going to use this ministry in a very unique way in this season of this generation. I just believe that. Because there's a real love here, for one thing, for people. And y'all are part of that. Y'all have always loved people. And thank you for that. You've always, every person that comes and visits, they always say, I did not feel judged. I felt so accepted. I felt so loved. That's you, body. Thank you for that. And also, we have something else very special here. We are a church that's been birthed by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a play church that was assembled. But it was ordained by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's find it here. Mission statement, number one. Really detailed. The IRS has a copy of this. That's how long it is. The purpose of this ministry is to bring life to all those that hear it. our focus is that God's anointing will break down the barriers in people's lives. Our mission, to bring hope to the hopeless, salvation to the lost, healing to the sick, deliverance to the bound, peace and joy to those with fear and sorrow. Living Word Ministries is a living word for a living people. That's our mission. Not elaborate, not a whole lot there as far as wordage. But don't that cover quite a bit of ground? It's kind of like KFC. They don't sell hamburgers. You know why? They focus on chicken. When you focus on one thing, you make it the best. Our focus is in the anointing of God moving in this place and on people's lives being changed. I mean changed. Not pretend change. Change, church. There are a lot of people that count salvation. I don't see how churches can count salvations. I don't understand that. I still don't understand. They count salvations. There was a mega church that I pulled up today that since their birth in 06 has had 3,725 salvations. I don't know how they count that. I mean, I know how they count it as far as I'm a profession. But you know how many of you come up over and over and over? I do too. We have repeat visits at the altar. So does that count as salvation every time? I mean, we have repeat visits at the altar, which is a good thing. But we're not in it to count salvations. Other pastors asked me, how many got saved this year? I said, I don't know. You don't know, huh? I mean, I know there's certain people that tell me I gave my heart to Jesus or I got saved. I know that. But I'm not going to ask, you know, Bruce or Amanda, hey, did you get saved today? Chastity, did you get saved today? What'd you come up here for? That's between you and God. It's not for me to put on a calendar and mark how many we got saved. That's man thing there. I don't know, but I'll know one day. I know one day God will show me. He'll say, son, come here. Here's the ones that would have been lost. And it may just be two people. Praise God. 40 years of ministry, two people. Okay, that's two that got saved. It's like I told my old pastor one day. I went to him. I felt pressed to tell him this. I was at church, and I went up to him. I said, brother, I want to tell you this. I said, I know you get discouraged. I really know now how he feels. You get discouraged as a pastor. It's such a hard job, and the seats are empty, and I just wonder if you're making a difference. But I said, if you reached nobody else ever on the earth, you reached me. And I'm saved because of your obedience. I'm in heaven because of you. So if God shows me a little corner, I might be like, yeah, God, show me. And I hear crickets. See that man behind that pole? Stooped over in that dark shadow? Yeah, that's the one you reached. Well, praise God. But I'll be like, man, I should have reached a lot more. But everyone that comes to the altar doesn't truly get saved. We know that. Billy Graham said that. When all them droves come to the altar, he says, I know everybody's not getting saved. I know everybody's not really being changed. I know part of it's the hype or the movement or the emotional part. I know all of them are not really getting born again. But there are some that are getting born again. And that's our job, to reach the ones that have been born again. And there are one in the church I know. I know Bob Shepherd got saved through this ministry. He got born again. That's one I know got born again here at this church. There's a lot of others I can name, but that's one we know. He got saved here. I mean, he really got saved here. Brenda's friend Richard got saved in his church a few months ago. We sat in my office, him in tears crying, giving his heart to Jesus. Never been in church, didn't know anything about the Bible. Never been in church his whole life. But he said, the last few weeks you've been preaching, James, I'm under such conviction I can't hardly stand it. Because I know God's talking to me. So this ministry is making a difference in people's lives, and you're a part of that difference as the body. So wait on the Lord. Trust him, because good things are yet to come for God's people. We're on our way, as Bruce sang, to Canaan land. Man, aren't you glad for that? On our way to Canaan land, and nothing can't stop us. Hallelujah. If you would, I'm going to, before we do our closing prayer for the offering, I got a song we're going to play. It goes along with my message. And I'm just going to have you stand up if you would and just sing along with it. The words will be on the screen. It's kind of a high song, so you may not be able to reach the notes very well, but just got a great message for it, for our message. Go ahead and play that, Jeremy. It's called I'll Be Waiting. While I'm waiting. Just put yourself in this position, God, that I'm going to, while I'm waiting, I'm going to be doing these things. Because you're on the way. You're on the way for my life.
I'm waiting. ahead, bold and confident. Taking every step in obedience while I'm waiting. I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting. I will not fail. I'll be running the race, even while I wait.
We gotta keep fighting, don't we, while we're waiting? Keep running. Keep preaching. Keep praying.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am peaceful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it's not easy.
No,
but faithfully I will wait.
Yes, I will wait.
And I will move ahead, bold and confident.
I'll be
taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will worship while I'm waiting,
and I
will not
fail. And I will serve you
while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting. I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting.
Amen. While we're waiting, we still got to work, don't we? While we're waiting, we still got to move. While we're waiting, we still got to trust. I think I just love that song. So, waiting is not necessarily a bad thing, church. Waiting strengthens us, and it helps us and encourages us. It pushes us to lean on God more than we did before. So, take it as that. It's pushing me toward trusting the Lord because I can't do it myself anymore. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the people that are gathered here. We thank you for your presence that's been here with us, for your anointing that's been in the word tonight, God. I pray that you continue to give us patience to endure the storms and that we will just trust you and we wait things out, God. And may not like what we're seeing or what we're enduring, but we give it to you. You can keep it for us, and you are bigger than what we are giving to you. You're bigger than that problem. And we know, God, you're going to bring into pass our miracle, our healing, our answered prayer, our deliverance. You're going to bring it to pass in due season. Lord, I thank you and praise you. We have a God who is faithful in keeping his word. Thank you, Jesus. For the offering tonight, Lord, as those that give tonight, we ask you bless the seed and you bless the finance. And we give to you with obedience, with love, with joy, God, giving unto your work. We give you honor, praise, and glory for all things. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can bring your offering up.